Until recently, much of the information we've had about where enslaved people were captured before being brought to America came from shipping logs and databases like Slave Voyages, which details everything from ports of embarkation to the numbers of men, women, and children transported, a horribly dry calculation of a terrible commerce in humans. Well, now there's new information drawn from genetics that reveals to today's descendants of people enslaved in America that their ancestors had consequential stops before reaching this country and suffered unspeakable atrocities. The study called Genetic Consequences of the Transatlantic Slave Trade in the Americas appears in the American Journal of Human Genetics. It drew on genetic data from 50,000 23andMe users who agreed to lend their DNA. It's the brainchild of Joanna Mountain, a geneticist at 23andMe who'd been a Peace Corps volunteer in Kenya and developed a deep interest in what happened to people who'd been wrenched from that continent into slavery. She joined forces with population geneticist Stephen Micheletti on this new study. It's years in the making. Joanna Mountain, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
And we've got Stephen Micheletti as well, both of you in the San Francisco area in California. Hi, Stephen.
Hi. Great to be here.
Can you give us a broad brush headline? What did you find?
Yeah, so off the bat, as you mentioned, there's this vast database of records that details the voyages between Europe, Africa, and the Americas for about 1,400 years. And what we wanted to do was to work with historians and look at this database and then compare that to the genetic connections between people in Africa and people in the United States with African ancestry. Overall, what we found is that there are a lot of matches between genetics and the historical records, but also some discrepancies as well.
One of the biggest findings we had was a very strong bias towards African women contributing to the present-day gene pool as compared to African enslaved men, something that has been observed before. But what we found was that it really varies across different regions of the Americas, and it's known that even in the U.S. area, that more women had children than men. But when you get to parts of Central America, you see 13 to 17 times more women contributing to the current day gene pool than did African enslaved men. And so in discussing this extreme finding with historians and looking through the historical literature, we found indications that men were, you know, far less likely to reproduce, partly because they were at higher risk of dying early if they were, you know, having to participate in rice farming or sugarcane farming, which was very risky. At the same time, women were sometimes being forced to reproduce. And in some parts of Latin America, there would be initiatives to encourage European men to father children with African women in order to do something that they called dilute the African gene pool. So there actually were policies that led to this bias and led it to it being more extreme in some areas than others.
It was just, I mean, horrendous. Women raped, forced to have children, again, before they even got to America.
Yes, and to see it in the DNA of people today is kind of shocking. I mean, this is something that we often think of as past, and yet the repercussions certainly continue to today in the DNA. It's kind of amazing that we see it so strongly in the genetic evidence.
That, to me, was the biggest takeaway. I mean, we know there was rape in slavery, but this sort of, as you said, trying to dilute a race, or there were far fewer numbers of women who were enslaved than men, and yet they had this huge contribution to the gene pool because they were so often raped. It's just a terrible takeaway. But Stephen, you said you were also surprised by the number of Americans with Nigerian ancestry. Tell us about that.
Like you mentioned, we see a lot of U.S.-based African-Americans with ancestry from Nigeria, and specifically connections to the ethno-linguistic groups, the Yoruba, San, and Igbo. And why this was so surprising is the transatlantic shipping records indicate that people around Nigeria weren't directly arriving in the U.S. in high numbers. But what we have to realize is that enslaved people were being forced between and within the Americas over centuries. So not all the movement was happening across the Atlantic. It was also happening between all these countries and within all these countries.
In other words, they were shipped to one place and then put on another ship and shipped somewhere else.
Yes, exactly.
Can you imagine surviving one shipping ordeal and then either you or your children getting shipped once again.
Or separated at that point.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. We understand another surprise for you was how few Gambian and Senegalese descendants of enslaved people there are in the U.S. Why? What's the reasoning there?
So we merged these two regions and call them Senegambia, and we didn't see a lot of Senegambian representation in the U.S. And again, that's another deviance from our expectation given the shipping records. And a working hypothesis is that Senegambians were typically Asian and African rice cultivators back in Africa, and the Europeans were well aware of this. So it's likely that Senegambians that arrived in the United States ended up on rice plantations because of their expertise. And what we know about rice plantations is that they were some of the most dangerous working conditions for enslaved people. One reason is malaria is a huge problem in these swampy rice fields, and there's also other risks like drowning.
So they died. They didn't have a chance to leave descendants. Again, terrible. You're working with real people. I know these were volunteers from 23andMe, over 50,000, that gave you permission to use this DNA. Have you had response from them?
So we definitely had quite a bit of response, and it's provoked some debate regarding enslavement and forced migrations, but also people seeing this story in their own lives. One individual said that whenever I'm in Jamaica and New Orleans, I feel a sense of connection. And for that individual, this study felt very real to him. And so that was super exciting for us.
Was he finding out that, in fact, your study showed that his ancestors came from Africa to Jamaica and then were shipped again?
So that is something when he read our paper, that's what came to his mind. And that would be an explanation for his sense of connection to those places. So that's someone reading the paper pretty closely. So we'd like to make it easier for people to get that sense of connection with the study.
And what have you heard, if you've heard at all, Stephen, from people who are discovering from your study what we sort of knew, but they're seeing it clearly, that there might also be some European DNA, that you know somebody who bore their ancestor was raped?
So one goal of this study was first to produce the data and then look at the historical records that best support those data. And unfortunately, the records that support those data are these horrible atrocities. And with that, we wanted to make readers aware of these atrocities because they've shaped the genetic landscape across the Americas. And we want people to be aware of the number of enslaved people that were impacted. And people are, I would say, their eyes are opened by this study because a lot of people may have not heard about this history in the past. And I've received some personal messages that people are happy that we're looking into the history and not just providing a genetic study, but more of a collaborative study with historians and not ignoring all of these atrocities because it's part of their past. And people have discovered using services like ours that they have European ancestry, and now they have better context for why that is.
That's population geneticist Stephen Micheletti. We've also been speaking to 23andMe genetic researcher Joanna Mountain about their new study, looking at the DNA of descendants of enslaved people and what it tells us about a devastating chapter in the America's history. Stephen, Joanna, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.